Yeah, good morning, everybody. I'm Tess, and I'm a wanderer, so I will be going up and down. My name's Tess Butler. I've been in a professional in military simulation training and wargaming for 27 years. I look exactly the same, obviously, and started when I was 10. I won't go into the whole bio thing. I've got a website. You can see that there. I think we'll just crack on straight into it. So, as a woman in this space, when I first started, we were under 1% of women in defence who were in a job role other than HR, admin, or cleaning. We're now 2%. It's been 27 years. Yeah, it's not great. The guys who say to me, "Well, at least you've doubled." No, I think we're missing the point. I had the joy of hosting the Army Service Women's Network Conference at DSET this year, and we had 740 professional women in uniform at the show, and it was the first time in my life where I'd walked into a room where there were more women than men in a professional space where I was saying, and yes, it was emotional, but it was also loads of fun. So my research for my PhD is looking at diversity of thought at the strategic level and what impacts that can make to national defence. It's not inclusivity for its own sake. Does it have an impact on national defence? Does it increase our security? Can we be operationally more effective? And how do we actually achieve that if there is a difference? And we've done a study, which I'm now going to take you through. The first demographic I've looked at are women. I will be going on to look at neurodiversity and different generations and different age groups. But obviously, being a woman in this space is my first interest. So, and for those who say that, well, yeah, of course women think differently, it's taken until 2025 for us to actually prove it. So I've got a little clicker. I can't see anything on there because I'm blind. So I'm just going to click through. So I did this, the sponsor for this was the Cabinet Office, the Sonat Group at the Cabinet Office. You'll meet Al Edwards tomorrow, and there will be follow-on work from this. And it was with Bath Spa University. And Dr. John Curry is both my PhD supervisor, a jolly good mate, and a scrutineer of this work. And David Burden, who's in the room as well, was also one of the facilitators on this project. So, one of the things that we wanted to do was to make sure that as much inherent bias was removed from the experiment before we started. This is particularly important in this space because we will always be challenged as to say, oh, yes, women think differently, but are they any more useful in this area or not? So, for the experiment design and data collection, I gave that exclusively to David and John so that people couldn't say, right, well, you designed it to have a certain outcome. It's really important, this. Then we ran the games and we did over 800 hours of wargaming for this. At NATO ACT in Norfolk, Virginia, I ran the Women in Wargaming project there. What our findings are, the potential impacts on defence and national security, the recommendations and future research. Now, there is a full paper on this as well, and if anyone would like that paper, we wrote it in plain English. We didn't want it to be an academic paper. I'm doing that for my PhD. Don't worry about that. What we wanted to do is say, here's how we did it, here's the outcomes. Please use this if you can into other areas. So, said about the pilot study, I was involved in the pilot study at the Cabinet Office, where they ran four war games, one all male, two mixed gender, and one all female. And the outcomes of that showed a difference. So they then commissioned us to go full project. Yes?
For those of us not from the UK, what is the Cabinet
So
Office?
the Cabinet Office is the central government office that sets policy for the whole of the UK,
Roger.
roughly. And Sonac is their innovation arm. So, the questions were, are there differences in strategic decision making between single gender or mixed gender teams? We had to record when the crisis or the scenarios were resolved, and I'll come on to what that meant. Observations on behaviours, and actually, we weren't looking for behaviours initially, but they were so starkly different in the end that we've actually recorded that and it's become one of our outputs. Our conclusions and our recommendations. This is the experiment design. We're not going to go through it today. You can have a look, and it's on the pack. When you get it, you can reuse it, whatever you want to do with that, if it's useful. So we did three types of games. I'm a founder director of Fight Club, and we used a Fight Club developed game which is a historically based solitaire game to teach people how to war game on their own, and it's based on an urban environment game in the Battle of Mosul. And we used that, and that was the game we used at NATO ACT, because we were looking at how do we war game to protect civilians. So this was a game that actually has civilians and the protection of civilians at the heart of it. So it was super useful. The second was a traditional tabletop strategic game, which in this case was contested, developed, sponsored by the Cabinet Office again, developed by DSTL and delivered. And it's robust. It's fit for purpose for this thing. Yes, it needs development and things, but it's still a good game. And then a matrix game that John Curry developed based on Article 5, which was if Zealand was invaded in Denmark, what strategic actions would you take in order to prevent the first round of invasion from Russia? And it was using the strategic action list, which you can just see here.
Look,
excited laser point from contested, so that the players already had those strategic actions in their brains already. They weren't having to think and make them up from nowhere. Now, just before I come into the key findings, we used non-war gamers for this. Now, they're professional people, but we couldn't. So we were asked by the Cabinet Office to put on 7 full games of 8 of female-only games. But there aren't 40, 50 professional female war gamers, like globally, let alone in the UK. So we had to do the baseline thing of non-war gamers across the piece. And we did lots of work beforehand to make sure those teams were balanced. The headline differences were female players considered and chose from a wider range of strategic decision types than the male-only games. We did some male-only games as the baseline. When it says a mixed-gender team, that's at least 40% female, and the all-female games, obviously, all-female. Now, all-female games as well, really important, is that we only had female observers and female facilitators in the room. There is a thing called the Hawthorne effect, that if there is a single male in a room full of females, then they will change their behaviour. And that could be that they're more defensive, or they feel intimidated, or they get a little bit sexy and flirty. Either way, men in a room full of females changes female behaviour. So we didn't want that. We needed to empirically make sure that they were behaving as they would in the wild. I'll show you a couple of tables in a minute. What this meant from the wider strategic decision types was that the men really only chose from what you'll see is the left-hand side of the table. Very specific, direct action types, readiness, military-type decisions, whereas the women were the only ones that considered there was one blip, covert actions and cyber, economic sanctions, political. They were much more open to the full breadth of strategic decisions. Now, what could that mean as an impact to defence? Well, the first plan never survives contact with the enemy. So if you've only got one plan, because you've only got one colour, one course of action at the end of your war game, then what are you going to do as a backup? So with the all-female and mixed-gender teams, what we found was that they produced a wider range of colour than the all-male teams. Now, the senior leadership team, when you're presenting those to them, might still choose the original all-male decision, but this gives backup and other options as well. So the all-female groups, now this will be a shocker to you, talked for longer than the all-male groups. So I'll give you numbers. So the all-male teams took around 35 minutes to discuss a turn. The mixed-gender teams took around 45 minutes to do a turn. How long do you think the girls took? Go on, numbers.
60.
Higher.
Hour and a half.
Higher.
Wow.
2 hours. 2 hours per turn. Which actually meant that the game still took about the same amount of time, but the results were super interesting. So, on the contested game, there are 6 turns, basically, and we used the Turtle Island crisis, and some of you in the room will know the contested scenarios. And we said the crisis had to be resolved in 2 parts. There's an island in the middle, there's hostages on it, and the sovereignty is disputed. So we looked at how the crisis was resolved and when. So hostages were released on the all-male teams on average at turn 4, And by turn six, there was still a stalemate and no agreement on sovereignty in general on the island. The mixed gender teams released the hostages a turn earlier at three, and the crisis in full was resolved at turn four. The all-female teams released hostages at the end of turn two, with the crisis resolved at turn three. Now, what could this mean? It could mean that using women or female thinking is cheaper, not because you're paying us less, but because we take fewer turns to get to a resolution. Now, obviously, we need to do some more work on that and see where that goes and look at the actual decisions that the all-female teams were doing. Could they actually be more expensive than the decisions being made by the all-male teams? That's the next bit of research. And we're working with two AI companies to actually do some data analytics on that to process it a lot faster, because 800 hours of wargaming is a lot of data. So the groups with a balance of gender appeared to show a different balance, actually, of discussion than the all-male and the all-female teams. And you think, well, that's logical, because there's, you know, different people in the same group. But they were also a bit more fighty. There was more antagonism, actually, in the discussions in the mixed gender teams than there were in the all-male or the all-female teams. Point six, super important. Now, this was something we weren't looking for. The all-female teams moved troops, in this case, ships, way more than the all-male teams and the mixed-gender teams, because they saw it as a coalition and working together, and saw those troop movements as support for each other when they were actually making those decisions. The all-male teams just saw it as an act of aggression. If you're going to move your ship into that area, that's my waters, you know, I'm going to attack you, or I'm going to be defensive. I'm going to ask you not to do it. I'm going to tell you not to do it. And even when it was mixed gender teams, the male cohort of each mixed gender game showed that same thinking, that they thought moving troops was aggressive rather than supportive. So this is the table I spoke to you about earlier. So this is from the Matrix game, the outputs of the Matrix game. So the all-female teams, you can see, chose from the widest breadth of strategic decision making. The mixed gender teams as well chose from a wider section, but the male only teams, like with one exception, chose just from the left hand side of the table, and the subject matter experts, the experienced wargamers, which was again an all male team, only chose from that half of the table. So we don't know if that's right or wrong. What we're here to do is look at the differences in strategic decision making and then look at what that impact could be. So there's one of the papers we did a literature review, we did 100 papers for our literature review on this, but there's actually no papers on this specific topic until now. So we had to look at literature that could be relatable to this. So looking at discussions on whether or not women are more emotional. Yeah, 2 minutes, thank you. Or not. In the study, it proved that they weren't. They used as much logic as the guys did to actually make their decisions. But there were some suggestions that the presence of female members in the group actually made the conversations flow and people were more open to sharing their ideas and thoughts. So could it be cheaper? We don't know, because we need to look at what these actual decisions were and what the cost impacts could be. Do we actually have to employ more women to achieve the same effect? Maybe. Or could it be that we actually put this into the game design right at the beginning? So you need to make sure that you've got that thinking, that diversity of thought, right at the beginning of your process, the experiment, design and data capture. And how can this impact the actual data analytics as well at the end of that? So we've recommended that we train more appropriately skilled females in the space. We recommend that education and training is available to senior leadership and actually to a diverser group of people coming into wargaming, and what would they need to do to that. And these need to be not just serving military government, but across all professions. This future research, I'm happy to talk about that later. So we're looking at the diversity of gender at more granular level, that I've just alluded to. Neurodiversity in wargaming, super interested in this. what do autistic and ADHD people do in terms of, like, do they follow the rules? Do they think outside the box? Yeah, I mean, I got diagnosed as ADHD at 48. Came as a surprise to no one but me. And the differences of generations. And actually, we found that Gen Z on this game were much more logical than, let's just say, an older generation. And the potential data for AI and data analysis. I'll wrap it up now. I'll do Q&A later. But if you want me, that's that. That's DSET, and that's the studio. And we're running work and wargaming days at the studio every 3 weeks now and more. So that's me done. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.